Welcome to Health Reimagined. There's no shortage of AI tools making big promises in healthcare right now, but promises and performance are two very different things. I'm John Meyer, powered by Meyer Media, and today we're getting into what it actually takes to build AI that can be dependable at scale in real clinical environments. Let's get into it. Joining us today is Laurent from Nebula. Laurent, thank you so much for joining me.
Sure.
Laurent, for anybody who hasn't encountered Nebula before, how would you describe what it does and what makes it different from other clinical AI tools?
Nebula is a leading AI assistant company. Our assistants just listen to the conversation between a clinician and a doctor, and we then summarize it in a structured clinical notes and suggest codes and try to automate some of the workflows behind the scene.
So you try to automate some of the workflow behind the scene, whether it's setting up appointments, doing processes,
orders, and so on. Yeah. And so what makes Nebula different is that it's built on a strong privacy principle, also very customizable. And we'll get back to this because this is very important, and deeply integrated into the EHR.
Laurent, the clinical AI space has actually gotten very crowded, very fast. From where you sit, how do you see your tool be separated and generally ready for clinical environments from the ones that are still finding their way?
It's all about experience and adoption. So we have been doing this for 3 years now. We have rolled out this technology to 200 health system, academic medical center, and clinics. And I think it's about real world encounters. And what you discover very quickly is that these are messy encounters, really, really different from what you can imagine. So you need to have a technology and a tool that can really support these messy encounters and can actually adapt to the clinicians and to their workflow.
Reliability is a word that actually gets used a lot in this space. What does it actually mean when AI is embedded in a clinical workflow?
So reliability is, as you mentioned, a lot of things, right? But it's mainly trust. And so how do you gain trust? How do you build trust with your AI tool? I think it's all about the transparency, and it's all about the control. Transparency, you need to make it super obvious why you are generating this note, why you are suggesting this code, why you are triggering these workflows in order to gain the trust. But you also need to put the clinician in control. So currently, we don't have any fully automated agent. It always has to be validated by the clinician, and that put them in control. And I think that's helped a lot regarding reliability. The other thing I think which is important is, as soon as you build this trust, then clinician trust your solution, and you cannot afford to be down for even 5 minutes because they are seeing patients all the time. And so this is very important to have a solution that can really be up 99.9% of the time, no downtime. And I know that for some solutions, sometimes you have a downtime. When the EHR is down, it's like it's a nightmare for physicians. We are trying to stay up all the time because we want our technology to be trusted, and so that clinician can depend on it.
I'm glad you said trust, because one of the things that I see is that if you're using this automation, all right, you're integrating AI into it, and it's not there and available, they fall back to what they used to do. And that's where a lot of people revert to what did work at one time, and they're not going to fully adapt or bring that into their environment.
That's a great point. And specifically for this type of AI assistants, that remove the mental burden of remembering everything. It's like an extra memory that you put, and that you have. It's like your superpower, because you can have a conversation with your patients and forget everything about it because you know that you have this extra memory, this assistant that will, keep everything that was discussed, so that you can refer to it after if you have back to back. And so when they trust you as a side memory, it's like your phone or your charging your battery. If then your phone doesn't work anymore, then you're lost, right? So this is exactly the same.
I think one of the biggest things there that you're talking about is that when you do have that conversation with the patient, with another person, and the data is there readily, you can go back and reference it, because how many of these doctors, how many of these physicians are seeing so many patients daily? And you can confuse one from the other. This actually segregates it. It's making sure that you have the right data to the right patient and you're prescribing the right results.
Exactly. At the end of the day, it's our goal is very simple. The clinician needs to be spending time with the patient, not the screen, right? And so this is really what we are trying to do. And the patient actually see that. It's really interesting because when you interview patients at our different clients, they see the difference. They see the doctor being much more present, not typing on a computer, having a real conversation with them. And so it's really improved the experience and the care.
I'm actually glad you said that with spending typing. I experienced this the other day where I was at my doctor and she's taking notes. Hold on a second. And she's typing and I'm telling her all this personal, all this information. And do I want to reiterate it? Do I remember what I just said or what I just shared? And she's taking all this information here. If they could just sit there and listen to me, they have it. And then it's summarized for them. They're able to provide a better outcome.
Exactly. And so it's really amazing and humbling experience to see what it does to clinician, especially saving them the time to do that. Some clinician will do it during the visit, as you just mentioned. Not great for the experience because you don't feel the doctor is really listening to you, right? Most of them are actually doing this after the visits, sometime later in the day. Well, this is what is called pajama time, because usually they do that when they are in pajama after dinner. Yep. For like 2 hours. And so really helping them to reduce this and remove all of this is really like a critical mission that we have. And one of our clients went to the booth and it shared a very amazing story regarding four of his clinicians that actually, move their retirement date off because of NABLA, because they were having the feeling that their admin burden was like really reduced a lot and that they could practice again the care that they were doing before. So amazing result and impact on clinicians for sure.
Laurent, healthcare has been burdened before by technology that was adopted too quickly, and then it quietly walked it back. How has that history shaped the way that clinical leaders evaluate AI today, though?
So I think they are much more pragmatic because of what you just said. And so it's all about, showing them evidence that it works, showing them evidence of clinics or care setting that actually use it and have demonstrate a return of investments with concrete numbers, and having them testing it, piloting very easily so that they can feel from themselves the technology and the impact it could have.
What does implementation look like?
Implementation is really, so as I said, we are deeply integrated with the EHR. So there is a small part where we have some IT work where we configure the integration, whether this is with Epic, with Oracle Cerner, whether this is with Athena or any other EHR. But apart from this, it can take just 2 weeks. It's super easy. It's integrated in the workflow. You push a button when you are in front of a patient. At the end, you click another button. And all of a sudden, it summarizes everything, and it's in your EHR directly. Super easy.
Are there any safety or security concerns, not only with the clinics, but with the customers, with them doing this type of identification or using AI for it?
In a lot of states, you have to ask verbal consent for such technology. Even if we are the only actually AI assistant company not recording anything, with just transcribing in real time what's going on. So we never have a full recording of the patient's conversation, which is very private and very sensitive, right? But still, we recommend our clients to ask for verbal consent to be able to use these AI tools, right? And so it's really interesting that in 99.9% of the case, the patient will actually really like approve and agree consent of this because they know it's better for their care, it's better for their physician. And believe it or not, but you care for the person that will care for you as a patient. And so if the doctor asks you, hey, can I use a tool that will help me to just talk to you and not type on my computer? Yep. Everyone will say yes, right? Especially if you don't record, if you don't store their information and you don't use it to train your own system.
I feel this is providing a better, I want to say customer service, but a better patient outcome, a better personal experience with them and their doctor, of taking this data and being able to analyze and provide it immediately for them, or later analyze it for them and providing a better clinical diagnosis for anything and a workflow for that needs to be. There's going to be parts that they're not being missed before, prescriptions that are not being sent to the pharmacy or orders that are not being put in. And this allows the doctor to focus on the patient, which is number one. Laurent, the conversation around foundational models is evolving fast, and the world models are starting to enter the picture. You recently announced partnership with AMI Labs. How does Nebula think about where the technology is heading in healthcare?
So a lot of these technology rely on large language model, LLMs, right? And this technology is about predicting a token or text. And they are working great, you know, to summarize, to help you code, because, you know, coding in a software is basically text. It's a specific type of text, but it's text. So this technology has been transformative for a lot of use cases, including industries and including like healthcare, right? But what's interesting is that world models are actually working at a different level. Instead of predicting just text, they are trying to understand the world, to be able to reason on this, and to be able to take action and predict a little bit more the future. This is exactly what clinicians actually do when they practice care. They make a mental model of the patient's condition, and they try to evaluate how it will evolve based on a lot of signals, continuous signals. And so our partnership with AMI Labs is very interesting because it will give us early access to this new type of models that will be way better suited for some of the tasks that we wanted to automate. You mentioned the clinical decision support, so helping also clinicians to realize that they may have missed a diagnosis here and there. They may have forgot that this patient also had an history of this specific disease. And so these world models will not only try to, you know, again, predict at the same level, we try to resonate the same way actually a doctor resonates on a case. So very promising for us to be able to have access early to this and bring this to clinicians in order to automate even more workflows for them so that they can purely and only focus on the patient.
Laurent, my last question for you is, Nebula has reached significant scale here in the U.S. market. What's behind the growth and where is the focus over the next 1 to 2 years?
So I think the growth has been really amazing. And unfortunately, because the demand is here and the burnouts and the physician and the health system, unfortunately, you know, that is not in the great shape, right? Financially struggling as well. So the demand is here to have something that can really free up and reduce the admin burden. And so I think the growth or tremendous growth came from our customization and be able to support a lot of different specialties. Instead of just focusing on, you know, primary care, we decided like 3 years ago to be able to support all the different specialties, whether you are a cardiologist, an orthopedist, or behavioral health, or a nurse. We wanted to be able to support all type of clinical documentations. And I think that's really helped us to support, you know, the millions of messy real-world encounters that happen on a daily basis.
Laurent, thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
To learn more about Nebula and their work in clinical AI, visit nebula.com. Stay tuned. There's more to come on Health Reimagined.